Right. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our brief text for this morning is written in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, it's verse 20. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So far, the Holy Word. It is my pleasure and privilege to bring you an important gospel message from our Heavenly Father, who is our wisdom, and Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed. In the world of investment, success seems to depend on your ability to predict the future. The history of Wall Street is filled with stories of men that started small and made it big, and not by accident. John D. Rockefeller saw clearly in the early 1900s what an important role oil would play in the future of the world, and he invested all of his money in a little firm called Standard Oil. And he became the wealthiest man of his time. We list other examples, modern examples, of people who had a sense of vision, people who could see what was going to be very important. Everyone on Wall Street has the same dream, picking the right stock, backing the right company, getting in on the ground floor of the next big success. Now, our hero of our Lutheran faith, Martin Luther, also had a sense of vision, and he was an investor of sorts. He literally was the ground floor of the most momentous religious and social movement in the history of the world, the Lutheran Reformation. To the casual observer at the time, it might have seemed that Luther was making a very poor investment. He staked his entire future, even his own life, on his effort to overthrow really the only Christian denomination at the time, the Roman Catholic Church. On the one side was the Pope, who, in a way, commanded armies, and all the bishops and the cardinals, that huge institution of Catholicism, and on the other side, one lonely monk named Martin Luther. But there was something also on Luther's side, and that was the Word of God. You and I are investors too, maybe not financial wizards. Certainly none of us are going to start a great religious movement all on our own. But we're investors because we all have resources. Our time, our money, our talents. And every day we make decisions about where we'll invest them. We're all looking toward the future. We want to get the best bargain we can. And today, we remember that God's Word holds some important investment advice for us. As you can see, our theme is bargaining for the truth. Solomon inherited his kingdom and his rule from his father David, at a time when the nation was at the height of its power and glory. And when God asked King Solomon what he desired, Solomon only asked for one thing. He said, wisdom. His one desire was to be granted the wisdom it took to rule God's people and to make good decisions. And God gave it to him. That's a desire all of us can identify with, because everybody makes mistakes, and we wish we had the wisdom and the foresight not to make them. It's kind of what you go to school for, so you can gain wisdom and knowledge you need to make good decisions, to get ahead in life, to be able to tell good from bad, worthless from precious, the truth from the lie. But I'll remind you of something very important. The most precious knowledge you have is God's truth. As Christians, you've been taught to know yourself, to see your shortcomings and your sins. You've also been taught to know your Savior and trust in the forgiveness that He won for you on the cross. That's the ultimate truth. That's God's truth. Solomon is speaking directly to you today in this proverb when he says, buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That advice contains both a warning and an encouragement, and we'll talk about the warning first. He says, don't sell out God's truth for a lie. And there are a lot of dangerous lies going around these days. Lies that can trap a young Christian, or an old one, for that matter, and lure him away from his faith. Maybe the worst lie is this, that there really is no absolute truth about God. Look at how many religions there are in the world, people say. There's no way you can know for sure that yours is the truth. Can you think of someone from the Bible who raised a similar objection? Pontius Pilate. Jesus said to Pilate, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. But Pilate, he scoffed at that message. He said, what is truth? And that's the same skeptical question that's being asked today. Who's to say what the truth is? Maybe God exists or doesn't. Maybe Christ is the Savior, maybe Muhammad or Buddha. Nobody knows for sure. Well, don't fall for that lie. Don't sell out God's truth for that lie. The Holy Ghost has revealed the truth to you. By creating faith in your heart, faith that trusts in Jesus as the only way to salvation. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Another lie that people would like you to believe instead of God's truth is this, that salvation lies in doing good. Usually people don't come right out and say that, flat out in that way. But all the same, that's what a lot of people believe. We hear it so often, just do your best in life. That's all anyone can expect of you. But the hidden implication behind that idea is that that's all that God expects of you as well. That if you try your best to live an honest life and help people and obey the golden rule, then God will certainly be pleased with you. But that's a lie. We can't place our confidence in our own works for our salvation. God demands more perfect righteousness than we can ever accomplish. That righteousness can only be found in our Savior Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself and gives us his righteousness in exchange. Paul said, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Perhaps the most tempting lie of all is the idea of looking out for number one, forgetting everybody else and serving yourself. Stand up for your rights. Be a survivor. Fight and scrap and struggle to get everything you can for yourself because no one's going to hand it to you, of course. It's not a very far distance from that kind of thinking to someone saying you are your own God. And you are ultimately responsible to no one but yourself. And millions of people in our materialistic world are selling out God's truth in exchange for this particular lie. Many religious leaders tell their followers, you are your own God. Get what you can for yourself. And if it feels good, do it. Don't sell out to that lie. There is a higher authority than yourself to whom you are responsible, the Almighty God. There is something more important in your life than scrambling after all the money, the pleasures, and the things that you can grab for yourself. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Solomon says, don't sell out to these lies. Rather, he says, buy the truth. There is absolute truth that we can rely on. It is that scripture truth about who we are, sinners who've run up a bill of transgressions that we could never hope to pay off on our own. That's part of it. That's the truth we shouldn't sell. But it's also the truth about God, our loving God, who sacrificed his only son, Jesus, on the cross to pay the ransom price for our souls. Bargain for that truth, Solomon says. Buy into that precious truth of God that you've been taught from the Bible. In fact, invest everything you've got in it. Well, what does that mean for a Christian? For a person who's standing in a crossroad and looking at the future? All of us have resources, and all of us have to make decisions about how we're going to spend them. And I'm not just talking about money, although that too is an important way we show our love for the Savior. But what about your time? How much are you dedicating to your career? 40 hours a week? 60? 90? How much time will you dedicate to your family? To your hobbies? And recreation? Most important, ask yourself, what percentage of my time am I dedicating to my Savior? 1 hour a week for worship? More, perhaps, teaching a Sunday school class? Or investing by your daily Bible reading? But unlike a lot of other activities we engage in, we know that investing in this way pays off. The time we spend with the Lord is never wasted. The psalm writer said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." What about the talents God has given you? Will you invest them with the Lord, whether your talents lie in dealing with numbers or communicating with people or teaching or other skills? You can use them to glorify God. It's your choice. Everyone is different, but God has given all of his believers their own unique talents and opportunities to serve the church. Paul says that various believers with different talents are like parts of a person's body. Each one is very important. He says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Which reminds me of another question, a perhaps harder one, which each of our young Christians in particular should ask themselves when thinking about their career. Might I be able to serve my Savior in the full-time preaching or teaching ministries? I encourage you not to skip lightly over that question, but to think about it carefully. Where do faithful pastors, like Reverend Paul Larson, whom we commemorate today, where do they come from? Where do Christian day school teachers come from? They aren't imported from another place. They start out just like you. Young Christians who are making choices about their future and who decide to give their whole lives to their Savior who gave his life for them. Our Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary is there in Wisconsin, supported in part by this congregation's donations. It's a high-quality Christian education that's open to all of our young people. And they're primarily to nourish our church with faithful pastors and teachers. That avenue is open. The overall message of our text for today, though, is plain. Martin Luther saw it, he bought the truth, and he refused to sell it at any price. And the same applies to all of us believers here today, whether we're 8 or 18 or 80. We know the truth. We know where our priorities in life lie, whatever our chosen profession is. We are each of us, first and foremost, servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that we will, each of us, make that same choice that Mary made, finding in our Savior the one thing needful in our lives. The hymn writer said, "Therefore, thou alone, my Savior, shall be all in all to me. Search my heart and my behavior. Root out all hypocrisy. Restrain me from wandering on pathways unholy. And through all life's pilgrimage, keep my heart lowly. This one thing is needful, all others are vain. I count all but loss that I, Christ, may obtain. Amen. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.